Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. It is Tuesday morning. We are talking about getting healed, becoming whole, complete, and entire, spirit, soul, and body. Our blog is at wecanprepare.org. You can always get in touch with me at diane@wecanprepare.org. The resources that form the basis of a lot of what we're talking about, obviously we can go into greater depth here on the radio, but you may be interested in getting the book series. It's called the Eternal Life Series, and it's available at the blog at wecanprepare.org. We've been talking about overcoming the world, and what the world is really what we're talking about is the world system. The world system has its own life, its own power over us. We don't need to worry about struggling with the world, however, because Christ himself, when God poured himself into a man, that man overcame the world system. And because we are now in him, we have overcome the world. That's in our spirit. And we can follow his example of how to overcome the world system in our soul and our body. But we have to know that that is what we are to do in order to take it on. So many Christians, instead of overcoming the world, have separated themselves from the world. The world system is an enemy. It's your enemy. And ignoring your enemy or trying to not come in contact with your enemy leaves you vulnerable. The only way to get rid of an enemy is to overcome it. So we want to learn how to overcome our enemies. So we've talked about some examples of our enemies. First being the system of success. When we let others, society, our family, our own temperament, to decide what is right for us, what is truth for us, what is success for us, we have let the world system define life for us. So one of the areas we look at and why it's listed first is because so many of us have determined or allowed the world system to define and determine reality and success for us. So we let the concept of roles and productivity and financial success or ministry success be the determining factor as to whether we are a success or not, rather than allowing God to define success for us and agreeing with him that success for Christians is simply dependence on him. So our ultimate question is, all it comes back to, is what you're learning bringing you into a greater dependence and rest and freedom, or is it giving you more to do? So it always comes back to our relationship with God and the source of our life. Second, we looked at circumstances. Are we looking at our circumstances to define our level of success, our basically our existence? If things are going well, are we being blessed by God? If things are going badly, are we being interfered with or attacked by the enemy? Those are often merely circumstances, and to draw such conclusions based only on circumstances, that's going to get us into trouble when it comes to determining what God is really doing in our lives. And we also talked about our level of life skills. Now, this is an area a lot of people are getting stuck with right now. With when a crisis hits, you find out what you're missing. You find out where you've been neglecting an area in your life. And rather than be kicking yourself about, oh, I should have been looking at this, I should have been taking care of that, see this as an opportunity to regather in that area. And if there's an area in your life where you need additional skills, go for it. Don't just think of yourself as a victim of your past, but how can you be an overcomer in that area? For instance, maybe for the first time in a long time, you're having to go out and find a new career path. Maybe your industry is gone. You can learn life skills that will maybe be even closer to your own temperament, your own way of doing things that would better suit you perhaps than anything you were ever doing before. So we take these challenges as opportunities. Maybe as far as life skills, you've never been good with people. Well, now's a chance to get good with people. Find a way to do that. Maybe you've never, learned how to learn. Don't let that stop you. Learn how to learn. Then we've talked about our confused identity. The world system is part of your confused identity. If, again, you are letting someone else determine who you are and what you are, part of that is going to be the world system. And a lot of that has to do with the religious system, that if you allow the religious system to determine who you are, if you're a good Christian, if you're a good wife, for instance, then there'll be times when you'll need to reevaluate who you're believing. To fulfill someone else's role or idea of what makes a good Christian is not going to be fulfilling, and that's part of the world system. It's part of the religious system within the world system. It's of this earth. And we give it power when we believe it, when we agree with it. Next is the physical and financial needs. You and I all have physical needs. We need to eat, sleep, be, good. The temperature needs to be right. There are certain things that we can't abide by. We can't live with. We have physical needs. We also have financial needs. We have needs for support. We need food and water. We need to be able to survive in our world. At the basics, when we understand the minimum, Those are normal, expected, natural needs. When we see those needs being met by anything other than God, we give power to something else. We give authority in our lives to something or someone. For instance, right now, there's a lot of discussion about the government running health care, or the government even being involved in health care. Well, whoever you are relying on to provide you with health care other than yourself, you are giving power over you. You are giving them authority to make decisions for you. And in that respect, you are giving something that God gave to you to someone else. That is contrary to God's sovereignty. And there will be consequences for that. Likewise, in the financial arena, a lot of people are discovering that debt has brought great harm into their plans because they were not prudent. When you owe someone, when you borrow money from someone, you are giving them power in your life. You are giving them an authority that God gave to you. You're taking it and you're giving it to someone else. And there are going to be consequences for that. So just by virtue of being alive, we all have physical needs for food, air, water, and shelter. Most of these are obtained through money, making our financial needs a strong motivator for the decisions we make, how we treat others, and how we view God. That's normal. There's nothing wrong with looking to your finances as a means of obtaining your physical needs met. That's part of the natural law. So understanding the link between work and benefits is appropriate for this earth, for this realm that we're living in the natural. It's when we take it beyond that, for instance, finances are going to meet our spiritual needs. If you are dead in your spirit and you think money is going to make you happy or satisfied, that's when money will have control over you. So many right now, for instance, have been relying on finances for their security, for their freedom, to give them choice. And they're finding out that they've been relying on straw, that financial support is no longer there, and they're finding they don't have any other means of support. They don't know God well enough to turn to Him. This is, again, it's part of the world system. It is our enemy, and we are to overcome it, not ignore it. So the more we understand our true identity, the more we will be able to keep these needs under our control, rather than being at their mercy. The next aspect of the world system is time. Each of us is given the same amount of time each day, and pretty much the same options as to what to do with it. Time can neither be saved nor caught up. You can't catch up time. Once it's passed, its past. Now, this is from the natural standpoint. With this realization comes the certainty of the death of our bodies. Each of us, at least to some degree, acknowledges and lives with the understanding of our own physical mortality. We all realize we have a certain number of days, weeks, months, and years allotted to us. And we can view our time here either at the mercy of time or as its master. Again, time in its place is part of the natural realm. But when we let time pressure us, treat us as victims, when we make decisions based on time, we are victims of time. But God created you to be a victor over time, an overcomer of time. We are all under pressure of knowing that whatever it is we want to get accomplished, we've got 24 hours in a day and only so many days in our lifetime. But as we learn to depend on God, we learn that we can live in eternity now. We can stretch, mold, and bend time, but not from our own strength. Not as a part of the world system, only as a spirit being. This is part of that aspect of entering into rest, is when you understand that as a spirit being, you have entered into a non-time zone where there is no past, present, or future. There's no time pressure. It is finished. It is done. You exist as a spirit, period. There's no change. There's no growth. There's no going back forward or being in the present even. This helps us to learn to rest and let God be God. So who is our example of what this looks like? As in so many other areas, let's look at when God poured himself into a man. How did that man overcome the world? In each of these areas, Jesus learned to overcome the world on the world's terms. In other words, he took them on, head on. He didn't run from the world. He didn't even try to change the world. He overcame it. He didn't try to compromise or debate or be patient with it. He overcame the world system. He recognized its power and its influence, and he said, nope, there's only going to be one authority in my life. So it is important to remember that, being fully man, Jesus didn't have any special abilities with which to overcome the world, except he had his relationship, his dependence on his Father. That's the only difference he had with anyone else and with you and I, is being fully God, he was in full dependence on his Father. Did that mean he never had to struggle with the world system? No. In all areas, he had to learn how, as a man, as a God-man, how to overcome the world system. So he never ran from the fight. But he picked his battles because he knew it was a process. And he was dependent on the Father for moment by moment how to be overcoming the world system. So it wasn't, he never was thinking, okay, today I'm going to be overcoming the world system in this area. It's like, no, Father, what are we doing today? So many of the things that we overcome, we will only see after the fact. We will see that it's only after it's been accomplished in our lives that we have overcome that area. Again, another reason to be able to hear him clearly for ourselves. So, Jesus overcame the world's system of success. He kept his focus on his Father, relying on him to encourage and motivate him. He didn't go to his parents or his pastor, or he didn't turn on the praise music, or he didn't read the Bible. He turned to his Father for motivation, for encouragement, for strength. So when he was tempted by what the world had to offer, and again, remember, he was tempted in all ways as we are. When he was tempted to just get along, when he was tempted to look the other way when injustice was done, when he was tempted to not encounter, not take on something his Father was saying, I want you to go into that. He knew how to get that strength from his Father. He had already experienced the life and satisfaction that his Father provided. So he kept connected to that. And that kept him motivated and encouraged and dependent. He understood that just because he was successful in the eyes of his Father did not mean he would be a success in the eyes of others, in the eyes of this world. It's amazing how some who encountered him were amazed and others hated him. What's true for him will be true for us, and you won't be able to predict. Jesus knew he would rule and reign, just not necessarily according to other people's expectations. When he was crucified, his disciples said, "It's over." And yet here was one who had been walking amongst them, showing them, this is the kingdom. This is what it looks like. This is my Father. But because they had not experienced it, they had not yet been re-inspirited, they could not receive the same life that he had. They only received the promise. It wasn't until he rose again that the way was made for them to then receive the fulfillment of the promise, which they did. Likewise for you and I, just knowing the truth doesn't set us free. It's believing it. If you believe something, you take it. You act on it. You take authority over it. It's yours. Jesus also overcame his circumstances. He was able to maintain his perspective on both the good things and the bad things that happened to him and around him, not by making assumptions, not by using his own strength of mind, will, and or emotions, or trying to understand their source or their results or their motivations, but again, by being in constant contact with his father, aware of his direction and possible intervention, he saw what the father showed him. Not what God was doing, but what the father showed him. I believe there were things that the father was doing on this earth that Jesus didn't see, because he was also fully man. And God, the Father, could choose to reveal to the Son as man things and hide others. He even said, no man knows the time and the hour of the next age. So there were things that he didn't know in this realm, not in his spirit. In other words, in your soul right now, what you're listening to me with has a certain percentage, a certain amount of what your spirit already knows. Your spirit is hiding information from you, and your spirit also wants to share with you tons more than you are willing or able to receive. So if we can just get to the point where we are receiving everything that is available in our spirit, there would still be things that would be hidden because they are not for now. So Jesus overcame the world system, the circumstances in his own life, through constant contact with his Father and being aware of his direction and possible intervention. If we walk through our day aware that at any time God could direct us to speak to someone, could direct us to quit our job, could direct us to invent a new invention, could direct us to be transported into another country, could speak to us with encouragement, to give us personal healing. If we were aware that at any time during the day he could do any of that, we would have a totally different view of our own circumstances. Jesus also overcame his lack of life skills. Somewhere along the line, whether as a child or later in life, Jesus learned those life skills that would be necessary to fulfill the purposes and plan of his Father for him here on this earth. For instance, he learned obedience through the things that he suffered. As in all things, he learned this from his Father and didn't look to his earthly parents to teach him everything he'd need to know. Think about what he personally had to overcome. Everyone knew that his parents weren't married when he was conceived, and that there's these rumors about who his real father is. He had to overcome that. And he did. And we can the same way. We can develop the life skills, the communication skills, the self-dependence on God, the understanding of our own identity. We can do these things too. So we'll pick it up there next Tuesday. Our next program will be Thursday at 7:30. Until then, this has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio. Have a great day.